Yeah, let's kick it off, man. Welcome to the show, Cheen. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I just woke up from a nap, so I feel well rested.
Keeping it real already.
Or a full rest.
No, it was actually a nap. I woke up at like 4 a.m. today and I couldn't sleep, so I like took a nap or a couple hours ago.
Well, usually what we do on here is we talk about the beginning of the season, your last year going into this year. Now, a lot of times you have people who start off on franchise teams. Yours is a little bit different, obviously, right? So just talk me through like the offseason, what your plans were going into the year. Obviously, you knew it was going to be franchised, what you're trying to do, and basically your process.
So I didn't play for a little bit during Black Ops 4 in like the middle of the season after I got like let go from E6 because we just couldn't come to like an agreement on the contract. So I didn't play for a while because I was trying to get back on a pro league team, but that just never worked out. And then I decided I was going to play for champs of BO4 because I was like, I can't just not play for 6 months, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was still grinding like every day on my stream and stuff, even without like competing technically. But I went to champs like with my team. It was Tommy, Lenny, Proto, and Exceed. We got like top 12, I would say. We could have got top 6. I felt like we had a really good team, but it just, I don't know, just like a lot of chokes that just came down to it, honestly. And then going into this year, I knew I wanted to try to be a starter for a team, but I knew it probably wasn't likely just because like how my last year kind of went, how like it was like, it was actually really tragic. Like yeah. I literally didn't really get to play at all, but I knew I wanted to be a starter. And if I had to go like the sub route, then I would do that. And then I had a couple offers from a couple different teams. Like I was actually about to join like the FaZe like Academy team. I was about to join that team, but then I got an offer from Optic, and then I was like, I'm just going to go with Optic just because I don't know. I just have a lot of good friends on that team, and mm-hmm. I felt like it was probably my best opportunity to maybe get a chance to start.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a smart play on your end. I mean, you end up getting a chance to play. Why do you think, like, throughout your career, you've been so, like, underestimated, underrated? Like, even when you've won events, why do you think that is? Because I never truly understood it. So I'm wondering, you know, from the horse's mouth, like, what you think it is?
I think, honestly, it might be just because, like, the way I am, I would say. I'm not, like, an aggressive person. I try not to trash talk. I used to be a big trash talker when I was younger. I used to really like doing that. But I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've kind of just... I guess you could say more humble. And I feel like another thing too that's really not helped me along the way is I've always been kind of a guy who's been to himself. So I'm not like the guy who was always like playing tens or hanging out with a lot of other people on calls late night and stuff like that. So like I only have my close friends that I've teamed with before, you know, like Slasher and then Kenny, Lamar, like people that like know how good I am and see like, you know, see what type of player I can be for a team. But like it's like other people didn't really know that, you know, they kind of just knew me off of maybe what others said. And so if like others were like, I'm lazy or something like that, then that's just like going off that. So
it's crazy. I mean, I will say that in the time that we did spend together, even though it wasn't long, you were actually like a refreshing pleasure to have on the team. Like actually for real, just like Cheen got on every single day and was going hard regardless of, like, a lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes, I will say, that people don't ever see and will not know. But, like, Cheen would get on every single day and at least attempt to go hard when other people weren't and try, like, trying his ass off every single day. So it was, like, it was refreshing having Cheen on the team. And I've teamed with Cheen before in the past, too. So I actually know that he's a lot better than people give him credit for. And, like, people always say, like, the vibe thing, which actually, it's, I don't know how much I believe that. Like, the whole, like, oh, he just brings the vibes to the team. To me, that devalues him as a player. Yeah. I've always like he just like, brought the vibes. Like, that's horseshit. Like you're a good search and like a actually talented search and destroy player where a lot of people truly are not. You don't like get smoked in the respawns. I don't know. There's a lot that you bring to a team that I don't think that people actually give you credit for.
It's probably also hard, Cheen, because I know a lot of players who've run into this problem. I've run into it before. We're like, you're the player who You always do your job. You don't like super excel in one part unless you have the teammates around you to allow you to excel in one role. But so you run a ton of roles throughout the life cycle of a Call of Duty because you're always on those like makeshift scrap teams. So you're never really in a position to like shine a lot. Do you feel like that's kind of how like your career is and it puts you in a tough spot? Like, cause you're always switching roles, doing what needs to be done for the team.
Yeah, I would say that was another thing that's probably like one thing that kind of holds me back is I like to be like the main AR player. Like that's the thing I like to do. But obviously I don't mind running flex. Like if I have another talented AR with me, like I've done it before. But I feel like that's one thing that's definitely something that's kind of held me back was like, I'm willing to do like whatever for the team. Like I'm not the type of person who's like, I'm only going to do this. I'm not letting anybody take it from me, you know? So like if the team's like, or if somebody's like uncomfortable, like I can't run a trophy, like, I can't do it. I'd be like, I'll do it. Like,
yeah.
Or like somebody's like I remember in Sloss in Black Ops 3, he would just be like super uncomfortable. Like if we didn't have a flash in, or if we, a team was really good with the M8, he was like, oh, we got to ban it. And, like I was never the guy was like, what? No, you can't do that. I was always just like, whatever, like help the team I would do. And like, I would try my best to like master it or do it like the best way I can.
Have you considered changing that like train of thought just for, you know, excelling at a single role and putting yourself in a position to like prosper on a team? Have you thought about changing sort of your perspective on that?
I feel like the one time I ever actually really did that was in World War II, honestly. That was like, AR. Yeah. I ran an AR most of that game. And then like when me and Lamar were teaming together, like I would, like he would run the AR in some maps and I would on, and then like I would run it on other maps, but most of the time the videos went like, it would just be me running it. So it was always like, I ran the main AR pretty much all of World War II. And that was like my best COD sides, like Black Ops 3, I would say I was really good at too. Like those are two of the games that ran main AR the whole time. And I was really good at both of them. And I feel like games where I like really focus on myself more than others, like is where I can like really shine. But that's the thing is like, I get into a mindset where like, if we're not winning, I need to do something else to like make sure we're like, you know, getting to that point. But like, I feel like that has kind of held me back. Cause like, then like, it could not even be that, you know, it could be just be like, if I keep playing the same way, and trying to help other people figure it out, we'll get it done. But eventually it's just like, I'm trying to help other people, everybody else on my team get better. And then it looks like I'm just playing like ass.
Yeah.
Did you run main AR on your Black Ops? Like so you were on G2 to start Black Ops 4, correct?
Yeah.
You didn't run main AR on that team, did you?
I did at the Pro League qualifier.
There it is. Switching.
So
up.
Like, yeah. So like at Vegas for that game, we were completely ass. Like we were probably the worst team there by far before we like made a change. And when we made a change like right before the event where I became like our main SOG, because like I don't know why, but
you went
nobody
from main
else
AR to main SOG.
Yeah, I was main AR. for the whole
That's
time.
That's the problem though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I was main AR the whole time up until like a week before Vegas, and I was like nobody on the team was happy. Nobody on like we couldn't win at all. Like we were literally losing every single map in scrims. And so I was like, I'll just take the SOG. Like, I don't care. And I took the SOG and we became way better. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like I don't understand like what was going on when somebody else was running a SOG like compared to me. Like, we still weren't that great, but I mean, it made us a little better for the event. And I think we got like top 16 or something there. So it was like, it was way better than I expected. I thought we were probably going to get last because we were complete ass, but.
Yeah, so that's definitely been a huge issue in your career, Chena's, like, switching roles and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it hard for people to understand, like, what role to pick you up for if you switch all the time? I mean, people could see it as a positive, right? Like, you can technically run anything, but for someone who you want to be your main AR, it's like certain people are just known to be an AR player, you know what I mean? So you just pick them up knowing that that's the role they're going to fill.
Yeah, it's between Assault and Chena, you go, you need a main AR, it's like, I guess I go Assault, you know, realistically it's like you guys are probably very comparable skill level and you might bring, you know, some pros in search where he doesn't. And it's just weird to think about because you haven't ran the same role the whole time. Like, is that something you want to change going forward?
for sure. Yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to be a main AR, like, the whole time I play. Like, if I start next year, or, like, if I get on, like, I become a starter for another team, I would definitely want to be the main AR. But, like, obviously, I wouldn't mind being a flex. Like, that's just, like, those are, like, the two roles. Like, I want to be main AR first. Like, that's what I want to do. But if not, I don't mind being the flex player.
All right. Well, I think we're talking about roles. So let's talk about this game. So you get, you know, big opportunity to join Optic. How'd that go down? Like, when they were moving you up to starter, et cetera?
It was kind of like, I remember we were like kind of talking about it. Like, maybe we could put you in for like, maybe like search and stuff like that. And then eventually that ended up just dying down. And then it got to a point where the team, they didn't place well in like an online tournament. I think it was like the first one that was online. They didn't do too well. Then after that, they were like, hey, like, we think that we should put you in. We're going to try to make a change with the team, see if it will, like, help us. And, yeah, my doctor hit me up. He's like, hey, we're going to put you in. We want to try it out, see how it goes.
Were you, like, worried about, like, coming into, like, such a broken team at all?
I wasn't really too worried because, like, obviously for me, it's, like, it's an opportunity. Like, I can't, it's not like I can just like fix the team immediately or anything like that. It was just, this is my time to try to show how good I am and how much I can help a team. And I feel like I was kind of like a good person for the job at that time.
It made sense, right? And then very first tournament you played, can you talk about the first tournament you played with the team? Like the one where you guys ended up, I guess, getting second?
Yeah. So before that event, we weren't doing too well on scrims. we were still getting smoked. It was still kind of like complaining. And then I think we got smoked in one scrim. And then I was just sitting in the call. It was like me, John, and I think like Brandon and Teej or something. And it was like we were waiting for our second scrim. So like people wanted to go get food and stuff. And I remember Reddit was like, man, let me just run the smoke. And I was like, I don't care, dude. Like, I was like, I don't care, bro. You can do whatever you want. So he started running the smoke, and we went to the event. I think we lost our first match, and I think everybody's like really bummed about that, but we knew that it was like, fuck, we just choked. Like, damn. And then I don't know, after that, we got on the next day, and we went on like a 9-0 map count run or something to like finals. So that was pretty awesome. And then even in finals, it was like, I felt like we had
choked that S&D.
Yeah, we choked the S&D bad, and then I felt like we still had a chance in the respawns that we just weren't as prepared, I guess you could say, as them. But yeah, I mean, that's just what happened. We played like shit in scrims, and then we went to the tournament, and we actually played really well.
So my neighbor just started blaring music, by the way. Can you guys hear that?
You can hear it? I gotta try. I'd have to turn you up.
I'm standing in front of the door of a club right now. So sorry, Chad, trying to adjust that.
Wait, what time is there? 8:18? It's time, bro.
My neighbor, bangers. She's a music artist, so she records songs and shit. She's actually elite, so she thinks it annoys me because she gets really mad at me for doing podcasts and stuff. She knocks on my wall. So this is her getting back at me for doing my podcast at 8 p.m. So. Whatever.
Oh, anyways, I do hear it.
Yeah, oh. It's loud, bro. It's I can't DMCA chat because it's not copyrighted. So, but yeah. So we were at Chin with like the first event. So you guys were like pretty solid off the jump. Like you're probably hyped because you came in and the team just got way better. What do you think that their like problem was before you were there? Like, and when you're on the team, like, do you think that problem persisted? Like, what was it?
I would just say that a big problem on like our team when we were playing was it was just like low effort like all the time. Like it would just be like it was like we would like talk about something and then the next day we would just like not do what we talked about. And then it was just like constantly like that all the time, and it would just be people getting frustrated. And I remember, like I said, we weren't doing too well on scrims. And then at the tournament, It was like we started doing everything we were saying. It was clicking. It was great. And then after the tournament, it was even still the same. We were still like, we started practicing well. We started giving a lot of effort. And like, I thought we looked really good going into the next tournament, which we ended up like, I think, getting fourth at. But it was like, I really felt we could have won that tournament, but it was just, I don't know, we just didn't.
Yeah, John. I was gonna say, John, like, you were part of the team, like, at the time. Like, what was the dynamic with Chino? Like,
no,
was
it? I mean, you gotta remember. So we picked up Chin, and the practice wasn't great. But then we, like, I don't know, right before turned around and got second in the tournament, in a tournament that they actually probably should have won. They got 1v2'd map 2 to go up 2-0.
Yeah.
I got fired right after that. So I was like, after they got second, I got fired. And apparently, like, still things were, like, still on the way up. That's what Sheen's saying. And they got top four. It was like, things were looking up for the team, I have to say. They got top four regardless. And then I don't know what happened after that point where they got top four. I think you guys might have had a break. I don't think you guys played the very next tournament after that. Did you?
No, we didn't.
So you guys had like a month break, right? And yeah. When they got back from the month break, that's when they got absolutely slaughtered after that. Yeah, through that time, we have no idea what happened. I don't know if it was just practice for you guys, Sheen, or like if the team was still not getting along in game.
I would say between that time, we had that tournament where we got fourth, and then we took like a week off or something because like it was like, we don't play for a month, so like everybody's chill. You know, we grinded hard the past like month and a half. Let's just take a little break, and then we'll come back. You know, and then I don't know what happened. Like we started getting on, and it was like, again, just it felt like I would just join the team again. There was just no effort. It felt like we were doing so much, and literally getting nothing in return. Like. For a whole 3 weeks, and so weird. And it was like, I don't know, it sucked really bad because like I felt like I was like, I was really trying to improve and get better because like obviously I got people on my case like, oh, he still like has a 0.8, 0.9, whatever, like Cap would have dropped the same stats and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, they need to drop him for somebody better. So in my mind, I'm like, I gotta go hard, I gotta get better, like. I know we can win tournaments. I know how good we are. Like, if we're all just trying, we're actually going to do really well, you know? But, I don't know. It's just no effort in practice. No effort leads to, you saw a bad play, so.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and is. What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe.
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall. The teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them, premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
Yeah, you guys were great. I mean, I'm looking at some of the wins right now. You get some big wins, and then even the semifinal you guys lost was like a game five. You could have won that series. That was like the map two where like Kenny died to, I think it was Weskin top window. Like that changes everything if he wins that. Like it's crazy. And then a month goes by, you guys get cooked, and then you get dropped. Like, was that unexpected, you think, for you? What were you expecting to get placed back on the bench or what?
So what happened after the last event was we planned on just like benching Dashi and then
why though?
Oh yeah, sure. So what happened was we felt like he wasn't really giving effort in practice. Like, so like, it's not like he wasn't late. He was always there on time. But the thing is like when we'd be practicing, people would be talking to him or like talking towards him There was one case where I even was like, okay, we probably should have done this and that. Like, what do you think? And he just, like, ignored me. And it was, I don't know. I don't want to say that, like, maybe it's just, like, he didn't want to, like, not want to try. But it was maybe, like, he probably didn't see the potential we had. And I think that was just one thing that really hurt me. Was, like, I felt like sometimes people didn't see that I was actually a good teammate. They just thought we were a lost cause and whatever, you know. And it's not that, I don't know. That was basically the main reason, was like, you can't get on for practice every day and just not care. And that's what it kind of felt like. So the team thought maybe this was the best thing that we could do, was benching him and then trying to find somebody who, like, an am, obviously, that wants to give it their all and try to show out big, you know?
Yeah.
So I practiced with them, with Draza for a couple of days, and then Hollow for a couple of days. And then I thought we were set on picking up Hollow, and we were just going to roll with that, you know? But next thing you know, I'm looking at Baskin Robbins drive through, getting a call from my boy, Eric. And next thing you know, I was on the bench, and I was like, damn. Can't even enjoy the shake now.
That's crazy. But that's how it goes. Did you ever get any sort of warning on the team that you were the one that's about to get dropped, or you just showed up, practiced, and then got the call?
No, I mean, I never got a warning or anything like that. I think it was kind of like those are my boys on that team. I don't think they would just, like, do me dirty unless it was just like a spur of the moment type of thing, you know? Like, Austin's really honest with me. He's like my closest friend. I don't think he would just be like, I don't think he would literally make me practice with people just to be like, hey, you're fucking out of here. You know, like,
it's just weird though, the way it was
kind of like last second, like, hey, we should probably pick up both these guys, see how we do.
It could be, I mean, yeah, it could definitely be a spur of the moment thing, but like with such a big organization and people's careers you're dealing with, I feel like it could be handled a little bit different. I mean, it's just my perspective. It's like, if you guys are scrimming with a different person, like you scrimmed with Hollow, then you scrim with Draza, then maybe they scrim with those two for a bit and they tell you that. It's like, you can be a little bit more prepared for it. It just kind of sucks that that's how it is. Especially like, cause they dropped you before they scrimmed with both of them, right?
Yeah.
So like for me, like if I was you, I'd feel pretty disrespected there. I don't know. I just don't like the way that like dropping players and stuff from certain organizations is handled. But yeah, so that had to be super unexpected. Did you talk to any of the players, like any of the teammates after that about it?
So after that, I was really, really mad. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, I got home. I was like kind of just like contemplating like, what? Like, I can't believe that just happened. And then I like started texting like Austin, Ken, Eric, basically telling them like, I don't get how I'm putting in all this effort. I'm trying to make the team better. I just probably like I played I feel like I've been improving for us. I've been trying my best to get better. I've been doing all this, and it's people who aren't even trying on the team that I don't even get a fair shot to actually like showcase how good I am. It's just like people haven't believed in me since I got on the team, you know?
It's not a support system. How the fuck
are you supposed to play
well? And you got thrown in mid-season. I think it's bullshit personally.
Exactly. And I was like, I told him, I was like, I'm really upset. Like, I think this is honestly like bullshit. And like, they like kind of responded to me and stuff like that, but they were like, you know, Austin was like the main person responding to me. Like, that's pretty much, he was just saying like, he's really sorry, like, because like Austin was like helping me out all the whole time, you know. He was looking out for me. He was trying to like, he was really trying to get like teach me how to get better. He was like the main reason why I was improving too. Like he's being a really good guy. But I mean, I was, like I said, I was really, really upset the first night. But after that, I was just like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I knew what I signed up for, being a sub, like.
Yeah,
I knew, like, I told him beforehand, I was like, even if I never play a match, I'll still be happy. Like if we're doing well, I'll still be happy for the team. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if it makes the team better and it's, I mean, it works out, then so be it, you know?
Mm-hmm. You have any follow-up to that, John?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but Who, you never actually told us who it was that you said, like, people didn't believe in you. So you obviously didn't mean Austin. So are you talking about, like, you're saying Dashy wasn't trying? You're talking about him? Or are you talking about just other people on the team or the organization in general?
I would probably say Dashy and Teej didn't really believe in me that much. I don't know. It just felt like with them, like, I never teamed with them before, so I didn't really know what, like, how they are. Like, I don't know. Maybe that could have just been how they are, but I just felt like there was times where we would be talking about stuff or anything like that, and it was like sometimes they wouldn't, like, give their input or, like, even respect what I had to say sometimes. And it's like, I'm not saying that it was, like I said, I don't know if it's just maybe they don't like this game and they don't really care about it anymore, or if it was just me, but I mean, it happens.
I mean, it's kind of weird to say that after you get, like, top two and then get to a semifinal with a guy and then say you don't believe in him. I don't know. It's kind of weird. Maybe they just didn't want to go into champs with you or something like that. I really don't know.
I mean,
but it's also hard for me to believe that they want to go into champs with Draza and Hollow, right? They never even heard of these guys probably before this year, and now it's like they're willing to play with both of them without ever scrimming.
Do you think it was more so a player situation move or like an org move?
I think it was a little bit of both. Honestly, I think Eric finally got the, like, go ahead to pick up more people, and, like, that's kind of something Austin's been wanting all year. So it was not just Austin, but the whole team wanted all year was, like, to, like, try out more people. And so I feel like it was, like, a good timing for both of them to be like, yeah, like, let's try it. Let's do it, you know? So it's that's how it happened.
Well, man, what's next for you right now? What are you looking forward to? What's going on with you right now? Like, what are you up to?
Right now, I don't really have much plan besides just making content. I'm trying to just stream more, going to try to start uploading on YouTube more and just do all that stuff while it's kind of like going into the off season pretty much for me. Obviously, if the team needs me, I'll still play. I'm not just going to forget spawns and stuff like that. So, I mean, for me, it's just right now just trying to make sure that just trying to stay consistent and focused on myself and just seeing where it takes me.
Is there like a roster lock? I'm not familiar with like League Ops, stuff like that. Can you play a champ still?
I'm pretty sure I can, yeah.
So they get absolutely bodied. You're like, with your hand up, like, I'm ready.
That's what I was doing all year, so.
Yeah.
But I think we should transition off that. Like, so did you watch the last tournament at all, Chief?
No, I didn't watch a single second.
None of it? Okay, do you know, I don't blame you. Do you know anything about, like, the new meta shift and how it might affect?
Yeah. I played with that for a little bit.
Okay, so what do you think of the new meta for the, because me and Ann don't play the game competitively, so how do you think the new meta affects, like, I guess teams like Optic, and they play Florida next first, which is currently the best team in the game, I guess you could say. How do you think the meta shift affects them like that?
I think it probably honestly helps them. I think 10 millimeters back in too. So we played with that for like a day, I would say, or two. But I think honestly their team is really well rounded. I think Draza and Hollow are actually both really good players. So I think they're gonna have Austin and Draza probably running M4s the whole time. Mm-hmm. Or do I say Draza? I meant Hollow.
And that'll make Austin way better too.
Yeah. So Austin and Hollow running M4s the whole time, and they're both probably the smartest people I've talked to about this game. They both understand it really, really well. And then you got the three guys who are just running around everywhere, like trying to just do their thing. And I feel like I think TJ's gonna be a lot better. I think Draza's actually a really good fit for him. Because Draza, not only is he like a fast player with the smoke, also he also has really good communication. But I think with TJ, he'll really thrive with that. It's kind of like I wouldn't compare it to somebody like Looney, but like he's like vocal, like Dan. Like he'll like if he's doing something, he'll say it every time. So I think that'll be good for them.
That's good. I mean, that's good to hear. Like, you don't sound like, I mean, obviously you're upset that you're not playing.
Yeah.
But you don't sound like too salty about the team or the two players that they picked up.
I mean, I think they're both. Yeah, I think they're both actually really like two cool guys who, like, they do deserve to be in the league. They're both really good at the game. So I mean, it's just their kind of like their opportunity to, you know, showcase themselves.
What are you expecting, like, their outcome this tournament? You think they make it out of groups?
Who's their group again?
I think they play Florida first.
And then they play
Seattle and London.
Oh, yeah, Seattle and London on the other side. So they'd have to beat London or Mutineers.
I think I could see them getting out of their group. I think they do have two good teams. I think Seattle's actually been improving. And then London, they've been pretty good with Trey this time. So I would say that, yeah, I think they'll probably make it out of the groups. I think Florida will probably just beat them, but then they'll beat the next two.
Yeah, I mean, Optic has to do well this tournament. Like, they're right now, they're eighth in the standings, and, like, they play Ultra round one of the last tournament. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have to do well here just to give themselves, like, a good opportunity to stay top eight, bro, because... Like,
you don't want
to
be in the losers.
Yeah. How much did you guys talk about that? I bet it was like every time.
It was a lot.
Yeah, dude.
It was a lot.
Dude, it's crazy how in the early in the season, like the first couple events, like are so important for points. Even that 20 points from launch weekend was fucking huge, dude. Looking back at it.
It's wild. I feel like it's always kind of been like that. Like, wasn't it like Doug's team or something? They didn't make like the league by like 15 points or something like that.
That was to me.
that was World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was when Doug wired.
That's
me,
when
bro.
You got wired.
wired.
Yeah.
What an insane.
See, situation. I would have personally never forgiven Doug for that. You're a bigger man than me, and like for real.
Forgive everybody.
This guy tried to wire you while people were post event. While people were chilling. You know what people do when they're chilling? They're like, they let their guard down.
Who knows? I could have said anything.
You could have said anything. You could have said anything. Absolutely.
But the professional smart man that I am, I just said, get the fuck out of my face, Doug.
You're still out here inwarding it up.
I said, get out of my face, Doug.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, it's always been like that. Like, you got to perform early on or it screws you over later on, dude. So they're in a crazy spot. But man, yeah, this season's getting crazy. With the meta change, like right now, who do you think it benefits most in the league, Gene? Like from people you've played against... what teams do you think are going to be really good come champs time?
I think I'm honestly kind of excited to see Dallas play. I feel like they have Krim and Clay, who, like, I think Krim is a lot better with an AR than he is with a sub. And I think this game is a game that he, like, understands too. So... he's got really good submachine gun players on his team, and then him and Clay can just be posted up. Like, it kind of reminds me of like how Optic is right now. Like, they just have two people who are really good, just like AR players who can like just hold their own against some of the best, and they have three just gunners on their side too. Yeah. So I feel like I'm excited to see Dallas, and I'm excited to see like Optic a lot. Those are like the two teams that I would really say that, like, I think probably will improve the most.
That's huge then too, because like FaZe is kind of falling off, and then so I mean, like, for me, my top four is New York, Dallas, Mutineers, Huntsman in no particular order. I mean, Mutineers won, but that's my top four. I think FaZe is falling out. What the hell do you think's going on with FaZe? You didn't even watch the last tournament, so you might not be the one to talk to about it.
I mean, just from watching FaZe, just even before, I just feel like in certain like ways they play the game really well, but then in other ways they just stop thinking. It's like, I don't know what it is, but they stop thinking and they just start going. And if they just like in my mind, I think that FaZe team is probably like the best team like that, or should be the best team, but like just based off their names and stuff. And like how good they actually are, but like they just don't always like do everything to the best possibility to like succeed. Mm-hmm. Like if it's like they can rotate and hold this whole hill for this amount of time, or they can hit the scrap and just try to win the rotation gunfights after. And it's like, I feel like that's sometimes like something they will do, which can hold them back and cause them to lose maps, other than just
doing what they've been on. Sorry to interrupt you. I feel like I took severe issue with your top four, Ant. Like, okay, so FaZe has fallen off a little bit, meaning like you don't expect them to go into every series and dominate. But
I don't think they lose a lot of series now.
Yeah, but they haven't missed a semis though. They were just in finals, and then they were just in semis. Like, what else?
The reason that's a ridiculous expectation
to have about a team.
I just think the way that they've been losing has been obscene. The way they got smoked by Mutineers, the way they got smoked by Huntsman. I mean, that loss to Ultra as well. Like, if it was just those other two games, like, okay, they got clapped by two top teams, but that loss to Ultra as well. And then how close their games have been prior to that, it's just like, I think it puts them out of it. I think Mutineers and Huntsman have looked better than them in the last couple events. And then I look at
Just Mutineers. You can't say that about the Huntsman. That's not true because they didn't make it out of group.
Huntsman beating them the way they did, I put them above them. And how dominant New York was on that Sunday, I have to have them in there. A lot of people would probably have FaZe over Empire, I feel like. But for me, I'm putting Empire above FaZe because I think this meta is going to allow them to get a lot better. I just have more faith in them right now because I think that they're going to be great. But yeah, I don't think it's crazy to not have FaZe in the top four right now whatsoever. Just what we've seen, bro. They got out in World Star off the stage twice.
They got beat by a good team, which happens. And they lost to Toronto, you said? But didn't Toronto also beat New York?
They didn't just get beat. They got World Starred.
Like, they got 3-0'd. It happened.
But then they also got 3-0'd. They also got 3-0'd behind
single elimination setting.
I'm not saying their ass at all. I just don't have them.
No, I understand that.
Like right now, in my power rankings,
have a team that has never not reached the semis in this style of game, like these groups, to not have them top four is actually insane. With how easy it is to just.
Well, hold on. Before you go, Chin, they are definitely a solid team, and they're. But the issue is with that statement is like every team isn't at every event. If every team was at every event, I don't think that they would consistently be in semis right now in the way that the current landscape of COD. I don't think that they're beating those teams, and they're not. Like it's been shown.
I don't think any team in the old style tournaments, I don't think any team always gets to semis. Like getting top four at every event is damn near impossible. But in this version of tournaments, like has Dallas made it to every semis as well? I want to say that they're only two teams that have made it to every single semis.
But we're not talking about throughout the year. Obviously, FaZe would be top four throughout the year. You keep posing it as it's a throughout the year discussion. It's not.
I mean, right now, they still have not made a semi. That's absurd.
I get what you're saying. But based on their performance, I don't have them in my top four teams. You're talking about like just because they made it to semis every tournament. Like that's an impressive feat in and of itself throughout the season to make it to semis in every tournament. But I don't think it holds any bearing in me saying that they're not top four right now. I don't think that matters.
Fair enough. Gene, what were you about to say?
I was going to say that like my top four, I'm going to say like Florida, Chicago, Dallas, FaZe. But I like I was saying, it is hard to base it upon like not every team's at every tournament. But I would also say, too, that I feel like a lot of the teams are finally, like, done bullshitting. And, like, a lot of teams are actually starting to get really, really good. So it's like this game obviously can sometimes not make any sense at all, but there is a way to play it. And I feel like people are starting to, like, watch Florida and watch, like, another team, Dallas or something. Like, they're watching them and they're seeing what they're doing. And they're trying to like do what they're doing better than they are. And so like I think that's like probably something like New York's probably try to do. And that's why like they won that last tournament. Like they looked really good. I just from what I heard. And like I don't know if I'd put them like top four, but it's like a thing where they could just be fifth. And if there's top five is like, you know what I mean? Like you could still be seen as just as good. It's just hard to like really.
So for me, like with the New York thing is usually I wouldn't like in my power rankings, and this is just all in my head, but power rankings fluctuate, you know, and the NFL fluctuates every week and every it just fluctuates. If New York wasn't as dominant as they were on that Sunday, I wouldn't have put them like above them, but they were so dominant, man. And like every player was fantastic. Like literally all five players were great. That's honestly pretty mind-blowing how good they looked, like, given what they looked like prior. Like, they looked okay. They looked good, like a top six team, like a solid team that could upset top teams. But to dominate a Sunday, like, that shit blew my mind. What do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I think just caught fire, and they had a really, really good day. I mean, it's not to say they can't do it again. I think they can. It's just... It's hard to be consistent, like, dominant like that, like, in this game. You could be like...
Nears.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's why I said that's in the game, because they did it again and again, right? But, like, Meanish had... Or the Subliners had, realistically, one really good day. Now, it was really impressive, and they deserve to be up there in the talks, but it was just one good day. They haven't looked like that in tournament play in a single other day. They've been having those days online, by the way, since the beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. They legitimately thought they were going to beat Atlanta at the very first tournament of the year. They've been good the whole time online, even before they made the team change with Mac. But that's the first time they actually looked like that in a day in tournament, and it was impressive.
I mean, like, in that tournament, it's like they lost... What, 1, 2, 3, 4, like four maps, and even when they played Huntsman, they went game five, and they just fucking dominated, bro. It's just crazy. I mean, you're right. It could have just been like they caught fire, had a crazy day, but I think they're just a complete team, though. Like, when you watch New York play, like, they're pretty solid at every mode. They're playing the right way. It's not like somebody's randomly getting shit on left and right. Like, everybody's pretty much consistent. I guess the biggest thing was, like, people went above and beyond at this tournament. Like, Temp, Axie, Zuma, even with the MP5 was
the man. They got one of the best leaders in COD on their team, dude.
Who, Lamar Betty?
Yep.
Yo, that
guy. No, Lamar. I'm convinced that guy could literally teach my granny how to rotate.
I mean, it looks like they were on the same page, and I feel like they have been improving for a long time now. I picked them to win a couple tournaments, like, before this.
Yeah, you did.
So, like, yeah. But I guess the meta switch helped them become more consistent. I feel like Mac ran one of the second ARs, third ARs, whatever it is, pretty consistently throughout the entire time. And he's still putting up the impact plays and kills that he was doing before with the sub. So,
bro, it makes sense, though, that they would be better in, like, this meta. Dude, Attach was pulling out the M4, frying just, like, whatever he wanted. You saw Donnie frying with it, too. Like, they really do have a team for this current meta. Maybe the 10mm will, like, nerf them a little bit. Who knows? Yo, Cheen. So, thinking about Champs, bro, I just want to talk to you about it, because you're the first guest on since, like, the whole Champs announcement online stuff. How mind-blowing is that, like, winning that from your bedroom, bro?
Like, bro, imagine I won Champs. I got my green screen in the background, bro. Like, behind me is my kitchen.
Like, yo. Yo, you
imagine
know
winning champs and I'm making a Hot Pocket right after, bro. Like,
yo. Yo, winning champs, immediately turning on your stream and then making that green screen just money, bro.
Just raining on me, bro.
Sitting in front of cash, just raining on you, bro. That is so crazy.
There were a lot of discussions, like, upon the announcement about what should happen, what's the right thing to happen. First off, can I get your thoughts on what you think Champs should be? Like, do you think it should be postponed? Do you think they're doing the right thing? Do you think they should have people fly together and play it on land? Like, what are your thoughts?
I think I would have really liked to see, like, something, like, super, like, closed in. Like, we could have played on land. Or even, like, something where, like, the top four teams go play on land or something, you know? Like, something to where it gives it, like, stamp, like, okay, like, you won this fair and square. 100%, no other thing. You were the best team, like, with whoever was there, you know? But, I mean, I think given with how the world is right now and how it's getting worse again, I think it was probably the right play to do this.
Yeah.
And I think it probably maybe would have been better if the, like, maybe the cash was, like, a little less. And then it, like, spread out across next year for higher pay, maybe, like, in tournaments then. But, I mean, if they didn't want to do that, I think what they're doing now is completely acceptable. And you kind of just, I don't know, you kind of just have to play from your home and hopefully you can
get
the server of gods, you know?
We have online. I mean, it's a viable option, and it can work. So, I mean, given the state of the world right now, I think it's a lot to ask for.
You don't want to just, like... That's what I mean. Is like, you don't want to just lose the event you hyped up all year, the event you've been playing all year for.
I don't even think that was on the table. I doubt that that was on the table for them.
No, but one of your best friends, Austin, was one of the people that was like the major advocate of saying, like, we should postpone this tournament. It shouldn't even be a thing for now.
I mean, you can't even postpone it, though. Like, the things probably won't go back to normal for a while. And, like, the new game's going to come out. What, are we going to go back to Modern Warfare to play our champs?
Like that, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, when they started the year, I mean, just being realistic, that event probably has certain sponsors, certain things attached
to it. Oh, yeah.
I don't think Activision could just be like, by the way, all you guys, you remember that initial deck we had, proposal deck? Yeah, that's no longer a tournament.
It's so, not happening.
So, yeah, I just don't
play all these homestands for fun.
I definitely get where people come from, and there is a world where we made it work on LAN somehow. By the way, this is stuff way above all of our pay grade that we don't.
Oh yeah.
But opinionated. But just being realistic about it, like a lot of the pro players, I just don't think they think about it in that way.
Yeah, they don't. They think they're untouchable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if one player gets sick, it goes
beyond that. Lights guy, one production staff, exactly. Anyone that's there.
Anyone that's there gets sick, it's going to look bad on the people running it.
It's also like, different because
why would you send your players there? Why would you do that?
We have an option to do it online. Yeah, it's just like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, imagine, you know, Sunday, Crim 6 wakes up with a fever. Like, that would just suck.
Like, oh, shit.
There's no way to completely avoid it entirely unless they all fly on private sanitized jets. You know what I mean? There's just no way to realistically completely avoid it.
Like, and then it's like, where do you have it? Not every city, not every county has the same rules in place. Like, if you come to L.A., you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, period. If you go to Florida, you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things.
You order delivery food, your driver could have it. Like, think about that, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's tough. So I think people didn't understand that. And that's why that whole discussion that day on Twitter was triggering me. I didn't even really get involved in it.
I was kind of mind blown, but that's just like, damn, I was more mind blown about like somebody could win $400K from their bedroom.
Yeah, that's
literally. More than like champion online.
I'm going.
I think that would be the part that triggered me. Like, I know, even though they don't ever like talk about it publicly, I know some players care about like the earnings list or whatever. They don't want to get passed up by some kid that won an online tournament in Modern Warfare from their bedroom.
Yo,
right?
that's
gonna piss them off.
Yo,
and I'm like, bro, that's just the way they're.
I know Austin would be swinging at his monitor, bro.
Bro, listen, dude. Salim's gonna wake up in his pajamas, no shower, nothing. Instantly sit down on the toy.
No shower, nothing.
He's gonna get it on the toy.
I'm ready.
Instantly sit down on the toy.
And tweet out Warzone later. That would piss me off.
Yeah, and then be like, Warzone.
Just won champs, Warzone.
Speaking of that.
That would get me so tight.
So like, speaking of that, this is what I want to do after champs all the way, John. I want to have a podcast episode immediately after champs is done and just have any pro come in and just talk about the year, their experience, champs, anything they want right after the tournament.
I think that's a good idea, but I think we have to wait until like that time period where their contracts are over or whatever it is. So they can say whatever they want. Okay. But I feel like pros always come on and there are a lot
after,
of things they
I want to do an after tournament say. Party, bro. An after tournament celebration. Like, MW is done. Everybody can have a drink. just chill.
Once gets clash after champs, there's so much that Austin wants to say that he can't say. I know that privately. I obviously can't mention it, but
you should write a book.
But Chino, so we only have you for like 30 more minutes or so I think we should start call-ins now. We have a lot in there, so guys, listen, if you want to join the call-in, exclamation point call-in in the chat. I think I'm blocking John's screen, sorry. Exclamation point call-in in the chat, guys, and then you can join our call-in and talk to us. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure John's video doesn't get cut off here. I don't know why it's doing that.
Oh, good, bro. Because I'm lagging.
Is it all right if I just say one more thing?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, though, like, I don't want, like, people to think, like, the optic, like, I hate them or anything like that, or I hate the players on the team. I don't have any beef with, like, Dashy, TJ, Austin, Ken, like, anybody. I think, like, those guys gave me a really good opportunity to actually play again, which was awesome. And I just like appreciate them for having me, even though it sucks that our team like didn't end up working out, I guess you could say. I'm grateful that they gave me the chance and that we actually did well a couple times. So.
Wow.
Wow, good guy cheating, because I fucking hate those guys. Fuck all of them.
Wow, Chin, you're just a great guy.
You're a great fucking guy. What a classy motherfucker, bro.
I wish John didn't say fucking like five times there, because so I could clip that and put that on Twitter.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
That's great. All right, so let's get some people in here. So the first one we're going to drag in is, oh, no, man. We got Swede.
Swede? Can we get someone else? All right, fine. Swede.
Hey, what's up, Swede? Hi.
Swede. Look, see, I'm saying Swede's a goober.
So where are you from, man?
Yeah. Good, bros. All
right, so we're doing good. What's your question? No, you got a lot of those. It's the Codburner chat.
It wouldn't be right if I didn't have two questions, so I got two questions. Okay. Might turn into three. But it's for Chin, and if you guys want to answer as well, you can go ahead. What do you think your best quality as a teammate is?
My best quality as a teammate would probably be that I'm a good, like, I feel like I'm a good, like, listener and learner. Like, if somebody tries to tell, like, if somebody's, like, explaining how to do something or they're telling me to do something, it's like, I, like, literally think about it all day and just try to make sure that I don't make that mistake again, or I try to, like, improve myself the, like, best way I can.
Mine's my raw fucking talent. John, yours?
Oh, are we talking about, was this question for all of us? What made us good teammates?
Mm-hmm.
Communication, leadership, always being there. Literally, I don't know.
Always being there?
All right.
Hey, wait.
How did that turn into a question?
I don't know. What do you mean? What do you mean? Because people aren't always fucking around. Know that.
Trust. That's true.
All right. What's your next question, Swede? Let's go. Fire him out.
Sweet, wouldn't
it? It's kind of like similar, I guess. What's the best, what's it called? Fuck. Best quality as a teammate in someone else? Or worst quality? Pick one.
This fucking snore fest.
God-like, being fucking godlike on the map.
Being absolutely untouchable,
seriously,
bro.
I'm being serious, bro.
Being untouchable on the map is the most important trait.
The worst quality a teammate can have. The worst quality a teammate can have is just throwing up late and like giving no effort. Those are the worst.
Oh, worst quality.
He said best.
He said you
can
pick either best or worst.
Oh, worst quality. Getting fucking obliterated all the time. Now, the worst quality is like doing poorly on the map. The people that would do poorly, and then after the map, not listening to what you had to say. Like
I think.
Like no effort. That's like
no. Yeah.
Complaining, I think. Making excuses, bro. That's my.
That's another one too.
I hated excuses.
Being Pac-Man, I was godlike. Don't get it twisted.
All right, Swede. Thank you for the questions, brother.
Wait.
All right.
Chin,
yeah.
Do you think Pac or Ant would have any chance whatsoever to play this game or any game in the future?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's chalked? Are they really that ass?
Are you saying that they could come back? Probably.
You think so? Really?
I mean, I don't know. Like they were both good players when they played. It's not like they were just complete ass.
I don't know. Swede's a weird hater, bro. He thinks that our thumbs fell off. Or something.
I was never. Literally retired mid it's being like, actually good at the game. I didn't want to play with a shit team.
Like, if you're gonna go pro, Swede.
Wait,
like,
the last tournament I ever played in, I had Chin on my team, and I was actually cooking. I don't know. You know what people are saying?
That'd be like if Swede was like, so you think I got a chance to go pro? I'd be like, no,
bro. The last team I was on, I got masterful finessed, dropped by Pat, and then I just didn't want to join Ghost Gaming, so I quit. It's like, that's pretty much what happened. Well, I waited too long to accept their offer. But yeah, I think I could still play. But I don't want to fucking play. So thank you for the question, Swede. All right, Ryan Chose, you're next. Where are you from, man?
I'm from Pittsburgh.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's your question?
This is mainly for Mr. Chin, but any of you can answer. What was your favorite moment or memory playing professional COD?
My favorite moment was definitely winning NOLA in World War II. Because I remember after the first event, a lot of people were kind of like even the casters were still had like optic and stuff above us. It's like, we just won the event. Like, how are they better than us? And then I remember we did really well online. We won 3 out of the 4 2Ks, and like there were still people who didn't predict us to win. And then I remember just going to that tournament. We just started frying. We did really well, and we won it, and I got MVP. And I was like, that was like best moment I've ever had, was just being able to do it again. And so many people like still didn't have you as number one. And then being the MVP was also just like the cherry on top.
Hell yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ranchos. I think me and Ann have answered those questions, that question yeah. before.
That's how yeah. I
answered. Yeah. Thank you. Have a good rest of your stream.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. You're such a nice guy.
Okay. Let's bring the next one in. Is Ben just dragging people?
I don't know.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, he is. Blizzard. What's up, my guy? You're muted, Blizzard. 5, 4.
Uh-oh. 3. It's our first kick 2, out of the day.
1. Get him out of here. All right. Gotta get the next
person. Gotta move this guy back down. Yeah. Yes, sir.
You're a clown.
Yeah, dude. All right, Ben. Come on, brother. Fire him in. Fire him away.
He started counting down.
Dude, I see shit's ass in there again, bro.
Yeah, I'm about to just bring him shit's ass up.
Shit's here. Ass is loyal.
Yo, shit's ass.
Yo.
What's good, man? Welcome to the show. We know where you're from.
How you doing? Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Fantastic, lovely. Brother.
How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Yeah, my question is for Cheen again. Did you have any offers to be on a starting roster? What made you turn them down? And if you didn't have any offers to be on a starting roster, what made you pick Optic to be the sub one?
No, I didn't have any offers to be a starter. Literally anywhere. But
that's crazy.
After that, I had a couple different offers, I would say. I had... I almost would join New York at first, but then I think they ended up going with like Suda or Doug, one of them, over me. And then after that, I talked to FaZe, and I was set to join FaZe. I was supposed to be like on their like bench, but then I was waiting on Empire to see if they would get back to me. And then that's when Optic hit me up right before I was about to talk like to FaZe guys. And then I was like, in my mind, I was like, the chances of me playing on Optic was way higher than the chances of me playing on FaZe. So I went with Optic.
So you set yourself up in a situation where it's like, where's a player going to get dropped? Or is it like...
Yeah,
pretty much. It was like, if the team's not doing well, like my best chance is probably like playing with them. Then like if FaZe isn't doing well or something, like they'd probably just try to go for somebody else right away.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you for the question, Shitas. See you next week. All right. Let's bring Frothy. Frothy Siggy. What a name.
Frothy Siggy.
Where are you from, dude?
I'm from Texas. How's it going, guys?
We're at in Texas, bro.
South Texas, small town called Alice.
Oh, shit.
Never heard of it. Do you play football?
No, I did not. I played golf. But yeah, my question is kind of for all three of y'all. I'm kind of new to the COD scene, and based on like what y'all been talking about and a lot of issues that have been going on, a lot of team struggles come down to like chemistry and vibes, and then that not letting them get through some rough patches. Do y'all think COD organizations need to start investing in sports psychologists like CSGO and LOL have begun to do? If they have, has it worked? And if they haven't, what has not let them do it? Was it money, or is it just players not wanting to have someone, another voice on the team?
I guess I'll kick it off with, I have no idea if they should hire sports psychologists or not, because I've never worked with one. I don't think sports psychologists, like, I don't know. Do they work in esports often? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, for League of Legends and CSGO, they do. Hundred Thieves, I know they have one.
Is there a correlation recently between performance and teams with sports psychologists?
Astralis would be your best example.
Well, they're the best. Charlotte's the best team in the world. They do credit that they that does help them. Their psychologist does help them. Mm. But I do have to say that Charlotte's was also absolutely fucking godlike before they ever got a sports psychologist. I think all those things are extras and not necessary, but I mean they can help. In order, like, that team is also extremely loyal to each other. In order for that to matter, I feel like the team has to have been together for a while, or like is willing to stick together for a while. And I don't think that COD,
the new game,
I don't think that that's ever going to be in the case of COD. Like,
the thing with COD is,
another, you might not even have a disagreement with the player. You might not even dislike them, but it's like this game requires to have someone else, and that person understands, and they go somewhere else. It's like,
yeah, you have to be together for a while for those things to even work, like those exercises. Because I actually did went to like IMG Academy for when I was on Complexity and did some like sports training and teamwork building, and it was helpful. But the team would have to stick together for a while. Like when you make a COD team, it's usually from the game prior, and you anticipate maybe having to make one change throughout the year unless you have a super squad. And yeah, I just don't know if it would work with COD. I don't know.
With the new franchise league, isn't it harder for players to switch out and switch in? So, like, I assume in like 5-10 years, like, you'll be signing long term contracts instead of kind of switching out a player the minute things are kind of struggling really hard.
Well, hopefully, in 5-10 years, we have a flagship title that we continuously play.
10 years, if the COD's going 10 years from now, that's lit. I don't even know. I don't know. That's a tough thing. But even if it is going 10 years from now, it's still going to be game by game. I don't know. They make too much money on each individual release. That's, I guess, what Ant's point is. Like, that they'll have one for competitive, but at this rate, I don't think so. I think it takes a lot to develop a game.
I don't think so.
One can hope.
What is the reason for them to do that? It seems like an added expense. Yeah, you have to hire an entire new development team that is so.
I meant the psychologist.
Yeah. I agree, but to both.
I think it's something that's like Ant was saying, like, how much does it really help performance overall? Like, that's like the main thing that, like, I think teams have to consider if they were considering doing something like that. Like, if it's actually helping a team and making teams better, then, like, I don't think, like, they would do it, like, without a doubt. But if it's something that's like it's not really proven to do much, then they don't really see a reason to, like, have something like that.
Well, I think that answers it.
What everyone into right now with the current situation in the world.
Hey, yo, Frothy, we could be wrong, brother.
I don't think it'd be bad. But
I don't think it could hurt.
I assume one of those things.
I assume it comes down to money, but one can hope.
Yep. Thank you, Frothy.
No problem. Question. Have a great night.
You too.
All right. Bear Bradley, you mother... What's
the
good?
The goat.
Wait. I have a bone to pick with Bear. You there?
Bear? Yeah, Bear, 10 seconds, bro.
I'm giving him an extra 5 seconds here. I'm giving him 10, 9, 8, 7. Yo, Bear.
Yo,
what's good, my bro?
What's good?
Bradley owes me 50 gifted subs, bro. He gave me a challenge. I completed it, and he didn't hit us with the 50 bomb. But he's hit us with like 8 since then, so it's like 42. But it's all good, Bradley. What's good,
man? How many have I in the channel so far?
Huh?
How many have you in the channel so far?
I don't know what the fuck you're saying, Bradley.
Anyways.
What did he say?
What's your question, Bear?
Chino, what players would you like to play with next year, and what org would you like to play on?
Are you Irish, Bradley?
Yeah.
Hey, let's go.
Players I would like to play with next year.
What org and what players would you like to play with next year, assuming it's 5v5?
I mean, I would still like to play for Optic next year. If anything, I mean, I really like it, like, here. But honestly, I'd probably want to play with Kenny for sure. I think Shotzi's pretty fucking nasty and really smart. And see, well, it's probably Austin again. And then after that, I can get anybody else at that point. I feel like we got a really good team already. But I mean, I would definitely get something like that. Like just like those four players. And then I'm not really sure. Maybe like a Donnie to round out the squad to be funny. We need some vibes on there for sure. Don made me laugh like crazy.
There you go. Well,
yeah, thank you, Bradley. I suppose that's important. Like, you know, you see over the last year or two, people not taking it serious, attitude problems. I feel you have to have a good mixture, like, in order to win championships.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's true.
My, Bradley, you have the
when
most...
You get serious, so
Bradley has the best voice I've ever heard in my life, bro. I didn't expect it to be
yeah,
this.
Yeah, you know, this is 2 o'clock in the morning, my man. This is my 2 o'clock in the morning voice.
You got to run your own podcast, bro. You gotta start a radio station or something, bro. That voice is money, brother. All right, Bradley.
My man.
I'll catch you in
the chat. I'm going to bed. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, man. Bro.
Wait. 1 second for the chat. People are saying, why would I want to play for an org that did me dirty? The org literally has been amazing to me from the start. Like, they gave me, like, a really good contract. They're honest about, like, what's going on. Like, whenever they, like, Eric is, like, really upfront with me, he'll tell me. And also, like they're, I don't know, they're just really nice. It's not like I have any complaints at all. They pay me on time, and I do what they expect me to do.
Yo, Monster, welcome to the show, brother. Monster. What?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's good, man? Where are you from?
New Hampshire.
Wow, never met anybody from New Hampshire.
Yeah, I'm out in the sticks, man.
Yo, what's your question?
How you doing, brother?
Good, how are you? So my question is... what are your guys' opinions on the CDL as a business, and do you think COD will survive long-term with this franchise?
I think the CDL is great, and I think COD will survive forever.
Well, you're hired by them. I want to hear Team Pack's opinion about it.
Man, they hired them.
That is true.
Would love for it to last forever, yeah. So that's that. Yeah. But, I mean, to be fair, for its first year, it's tough. Because, one, in general, they're going to have a tough first year. Assuming COVID didn't happen, it'd still be a tough first year. It's the first time it's ever happening. It's on YouTube. Like, these things take time. But then COVID happened, and it's like, it's not really fair to judge anything right now. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, in esports in general, and everything is – every single esport is going through weird periods.
Listen,
and I think
year
that
two is always that, the go-to year. Happens. Simple as that. So
year what?
Year two is always going to be like the year to keep your eye on. I like pretty much what John is saying. So, you know, simple enough. Next year, if hopefully the world returns to normal, you know, we get this damn vaccine by spring and then the world returns normal and we could finally see, especially with a better game, we could finally see what the fuck COD is made of. So, but I think they've done a great job and they've reacted to community feedback realistically, like, not even being a suit chat. Like,
been,
they reacted
to their
feedback.
They really have been.
They
Amps Online was a good decision.
Challengers. Yeah. I mean, who the hell gives Challengers as much money as COD does? Like,
oh,
bro, they're,
can we talk about that?
They're doing a good. They're doing a good job. Like, all jokes aside, thinking about the game that we have, what they're trying to do, it's not fucking easy. So I think they've done a good job, man. They've done things that we haven't done in COD before. You look at the cosmetics and stuff like that. Like, it's things that we've been wanting that we have. Like, it's tough. Yeah. Fighting the CDL, fighting those fights and getting the developer to do those type of things is not easy, bro. And they're doing it. So I tip my hat to them.
Yeah, I forgot who said it, but someone said to put, like, the CDL matches streaming inside of the game, which could really help boost the viewership.
That should definitely be a thing. They need to do that. That's something that's been done for years already, so... Maybe not a COD. I think it was in one COD. I think I want to say Black Ops 3.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it was in Black Ops 3.
But it needs to be a thing consistently, for sure.
But thank you for the question, Monster.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Though, Ant, before you bring in the next guy?
Sure.
Before...
We have a
did you see all of the challenger complaining about, like...
Yeah.
about
them paying out the all those people? Of fucking course they're going to do that. I can't believe...
I lost full with that. I lost absolute full reading that.
That's why I didn't comment on it.
Imagine having to beat, like, just other AM teams and then bitching that you're only getting paid 10 grand for winning. Yeah. Like what? The whole purpose of an AM league in general is exposure, and it's obviously working. That was my point on the whole thing. Yeah. Like, you have so many amateur players playing on pro teams. The amateur league is working. No
COD has one of the best amateur scenes.
Anything for amateur players. Like, name I watch a ton of CS. Name five amateur CS players. You cannot. Like, you, I would put 10 grand on it right now that you can't name five amateur CS players. It's impossible. Like, this, the way the fact that they've done so much for amateur players in console games in general, that they have like this ridiculous expectation that they should receive. Yes, it's a ridiculous entitlement that they should receive like 25 grand or whatever. Like, you're not, all you're doing is beating AM. The fact that you even have an AM champs is incredible. The fact that it exists is incredible. Like, bitching I can, so much about it is just mind blowing. It's just an
for a lot of that just I for a lot of AMs out there. A lot of amateur athletes literally make $0. So, I think they should realize that. But yes, I think that we've done a lot for AMs, and that was ridiculous to complain about. Sheen, what were you saying?
I feel like I can understand like people getting like a little upset that it's not more top heavy. I guess you could say the payout they were saying, but it's like, I feel like it's like John was saying, it's more for you to like showcase yourself and get to the pro level where you will get paid compared to like the amateur scene being all about the money and stuff like that.
It's to inspire, man. Like, Clay brought up a really good point. He's like, dude, me winning $500 allowed me to pay rent to kick this off. Like, yes, dude, 100%. So a lot of people are struggling out there. People are taking a risk. Everybody's not well off and able, or an ex-pro who has money saved up and just wants to win cash, you know? Like, some of those guys that are complaining about it, they're ex-pros who've made money and they have a decent amount. You know, they can live a decent life with their stream and stuff, and they want to win a big check. But, I mean, for the true amateur, a lot of those guys need some sort of money to continue to pursue this and get better. That's how you develop amateur scene.
Like, say your parents or something don't support you.
They need they win $1,000 and they go to their parents like, yo, I won $1,000, mom.
Yeah,
like,
some 18-year-old kid has to show that their parents that they're not wasting their time sitting in their room screaming at the TV all day.
Like, I remember like my parents, like, they didn't even think like MLG and stuff like that. Like, they didn't think it was real. I'm like, I'm literally showing you gameplay from their event. And then it wasn't until I won like $400 in a tournament and they were like, holy crap, like, this could actually be something, you know, like, you could actually do it. And then from there, it's like, that's what kickstarted me, like, actually going to events and actually being able to go pro and stuff like that.
What the heck just happened to the, Ben left the call on it. Messed you guys up. All right, I'm going to drag the next calling in here and then I'll fix the camera. So let's get Gersh. He actually made the CODcast theme song, bro. A rap song. Ben's just, our producer sucks. Yes, sorry, chat. Our producer is throwing.
Why do I look like that?
Yeah, it's our producer. He's throwing right now. I'm fixing it. Don't do anything, producer. Gersh, what's good, man?
What's good?
Yo, bro. Those are bars you spit right there, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
John, did you like this one?
We should have played it for the CODcast fans during the CODcast. That's what we should have done.
We are going to. It's going to be. We're going to roll out with that. With that. With the song. What you mean?
Okay.
That's all right. Note. Good to be here once again. Shout out to Zuma, by the way, for winning. But I know you guys are short on time. I'm going to cut to the question. So this year, for sure, we've seen a lot of veterans being rejected off of possibly being picked up because you have all these AMs, all these young players that are much better in an online format. And all of the strategy and like LAN experience that normally would be considered isn't being as heavily considered now. So after the season, considering CL is still going to go on, we might have an extension. Do you think those kinds of online specific pickups will stay on rosters, or do you think...
Hold on. Dr. Robotnik couldn't hear anything you said for the last 30 seconds. Can you repeat your question?
Okay. So I was saying this year we've seen a lot of veterans being not as heavily favored for being picked up compared to the younger players who are better in online format. So CEO goes for this year. Will.
You might need to type it out.
I heard something about veterans. Yeah, you're not to type yours out. I heard something about veterans being picked up. You're just lagging, brother. It's unfortunate.
Gersh, type the question, brother.
Yeah, your mic's like I'm really sorry, lagging, brother.
I really wanted to answer, but it's just, whew. Alright, I'm going to get the next one here, though, while we get your type up question. Alright, let's drag Kyle in here. Yo, Kyle.
Yo.
What's good, brother? Where are you from?
What's good, man?
I'm from New York.
apart.
Hey, that's how people from New York announce their
I'm from New York.
I'm from New York. Like,
Queens.
All right, Kyle from New York. What's your question, bro?
Oh, so yeah, y'all gotta say names, but like, this is a question for like the amateur scene and pro scene. But like, how many players like use Adderall to compete? Because I know that's a big thing in the community. Like players,
I don't think anyone does.
I don't think anybody does.
Oh, because I know like in the amateur scene, like a lot of players use it to kind of like get better. But like, I don't know if it's like fair to use.
I definitely don't think it's fair to use, and yeah, I don't think anybody does, Kyle.
All right.
Okay, let's get the next one in here. Guy from New York comes in here spitting.
Something. Trying to have a snitch on somebody like 6'9". What's good with this guy?
Instantly, bro.
Guys, like, huh?
You can't trust people from New York, bro. I've been saying this. You simply can't. All right, yo, your boy Noah. What's good, man?
Yo, what's good, y'all?
Damn, with the hype. Where what's you from, good, man?
Brother? Where are you from?
Milwaukee. Let's go.
Wisconsin.
Oh. I like that.
Good, how are y'all?
Good,
great. What's your question, man?
So I think Cheen talked about it a little bit, but like in a normal non-COVID year, would you guys rather see like prize money spaced out evenly or like more focused and like concentrated on champs?
I like the big champs.
I think in a non-COVID year, I think, yeah, the big champs is really good. Cause it's like you play for it all year, you know, like you're playing these homestands, you're grinding out for these points and you want the, like you want the last event, you win it, like champs, you know, you want it to be the one you win. And you like, it's what you practice for. It's what you played all year for. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like the number one thing every Kai player is look forward to for 7 years.
I definitely
as someone who's not winning any of the money, I would like to have a bigger champs. If I was playing, I think I'd want to have it more evenly spread. But with that being said, I would like there to be zero prize money at any of these tournaments since the players are getting paid anyways.
I'd agree.
And then for the last tournament to be fucking massive, if that's the route we're going to go. Like, I don't even know what first place is at the homestand. What's first? Like, what did you get for second place? Yeah. Like,
50, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that money, right? Like, that money should go to champs, and then we should have, like, some Dota finals. You know what I mean? Like, cause that, like I promise you, I don't watch Dota at all. But come like but when they're like when shit. It gets down to the TI and they're good to the end, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this shit.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm gonna watch this. Looks... this motherfucker's about to win 1.6. Dead ass.
I don't know what the fuck's this, going though. On, this but
kid,
I'm gonna watch.
This kid hit the easy button after winning 1.6. Like, I'm gonna watch that. Like, no matter what it is,
just to see
you
the
tell
reaction,
me some kid
bro.
Winning 1.6, I'm watching it.
Yeah, I hated Fortnite, but when Booga was about to win that, I tuned in. I said, "Damn,
same."
Yeah, I was watching Booga dominate.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, this kid's different. Like, this game, he got 3 kills and won the match. This kid is different. Like, you know what I mean? I'm gonna watch him win the money. Fuck it. That's actually incredible. These kids, I watched a kid in Fortnite win 25 racks and he didn't get a kill.
That's crazy, dude.
What?
Well, all right, Noah, thank you for the question, brother.
Yeah, no problem. Also, J-Cap's the GOAT. Thanks for having me.
J-Cap's the GOAT. All right.
I'm sorry.
Cap is the GOAT.
Cap is one of the GOATs. Wait, this guy in the chat said, people won't try and homestand if there's no money involved. That is the biggest Cap.
They have to. I mean, look at the standings right now.
Yeah, wait, why wouldn't you try? First of all, it's the best practice you're going to get. Secondly, not trying to put you at a disadvantage to win the 1.6 million. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Cash, all right. Cash, you there? Please be there.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's good, bro? What's your question?
I just came in to ask, like, so based off, like, the announcement for Champs being online and everything, and the top four being, like, 2 weeks apart, what are your guys' thought process on that?
Because like, that one more time?
They said like the top four was like a weekend apart. So like,
oh yeah,
how are they supposed to practice?
I mean that is tough, but I actually do like having every other huge major tournament isn't
they
like just one weekend. Like,
yeah, they do that.
They do that. It's like a thing in esports.
I like that too.
It's good for like monetizing the tournament, getting people involved, and dude, it's just like having like think about
it's
COD
different.
Right now.
It feels different.
Think about COD right now. Like, think about just even a tournament weekend.
World is like a month long.
If you have a normal job and you're a normal person, it's very difficult to dedicate your entire weekend to watching COD nonstop. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, spacing it out, I think, is actually a really good idea. And it's something I've been thinking about. ever since I was talking to like my IRLs, they were just like, dude, why, you guys have like an Olympics every 2 weeks, you know, like you just have so much going on and you have to watch every single one to keep up. So I kind of like how the champs is going to be personally.
Yeah, I did too.
Cash
race. Yeah, wait, let me ask Chin a question since now your chat, the chat's starting to upset me with this.
What do they stupidity. Say?
So Chin, did you try harder in the homestand because you could win like $5,000 or whatever it is you got for getting second, or would you have gone the same hard regardless?
I would have tried just as hard regardless.
Are people
okay? So, like, so that's coming from a professional player who actually played. The fact that you guys don't think the players would try,
they absolutely
would no try. They would absolutely try. Getting,
first of all, hold on. Can I say something real quick? Let me say something real quick, chat. You think Scump gives a fuck if he wins the $8,000 for first place? He wants to win because he wants to win champs. They want to win champs, guys. These guys, like the prize is very nice, and it does make it so
possible for champs.
Yeah, and yes, like teams that can't make it into, you know, the top eight proceeding towards the end, like yes, the prize is good for them to try to make a run and win, you know, stuff like that. Like the prize is added incentive, but it's all about champs, guys. It's they're going to go hard regardless. That logic is so flawed. It's unreal.
The reason that you get paid is to try.
That money, like with most of the starters in the league, I'm not going to talk about contracts, but with most of the starters in the league, they don't even, that bit of money for winning these things doesn't affect them whatsoever. Yeah. So like the fact that you're talking that you're saying that it wouldn't count as a chip, like the people are saying that is like because it's online, not because of the money involved. That is irrelevant.
Like, all right, we only have like 10 more minutes, so let's fire these up. Okay, guys. Yo, Vonderhaar Elite, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's good, bro? What's your question?
Hey, bro. So, like, first of all, like, I just want to shout out Elite because, like, Elite's, like, still the greatest player. You know, shout out Dallas this weekend. But my question is for Chino. Hello.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, so do you think like Celion being like really good at Call of Duty is the reason like why he's in a relationship?
No.
It's like the money and like his face kind of built like a scuff controller, so like
nah, that's just disrespectful. Like I was literally with that girl before he even had money.
Okay, but like he's still there though, right?
What?
Like the money, like, you know.
You're just trolling at this point, bro. Like, William, MC is a really, really cool dude. And
all right, bro. Like, shout out Ili.
He left the call after he said, shout out Ili.
Wait, that was actually the most fitted. He was actually trolling, dude.
yeah, he trolls you. This is the second time he come out here trolling. Shout out Ili.
I was like, wait, what?
Oh, bro. Did you hear him get super close to his mic, too? He said, Chino, all right.
Yeah, I got a question for you. So I'm like, what's up? Like,
controller. That is the meanest shit ever.
I was like, nah, that's just
it's a nice kid.
Logical. What's up, man? Welcome to the show.
What's good? What's good?
What's up, man? Is you Spacely on a ringer?
What?
You sound like Spacely. How you doing, man? Where are you from? New Jersey?
I'm from Canada. No, I'm from Toronto, actually.
Oh, that sucks. Well,
Toronto.
Yeah, no, our team sucks, bro.
What's your question, bro?
All right. So you guys have, like, I guess more of, like, an insider knowledge about, like, the scene, I guess. So I was wondering, like, with the AM scene, right, don't you think they would die if they moved to PC? Because a lot of people probably couldn't afford a good enough PC to actually, like, play the game.
They'll figure out a way.
That's a good question. But I mean, if you want to compete, you always figure out a way. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
Consoles in the past were super fucking expensive.
I
want to
say, it's too, like I Amazon. Feel like a like
you
lot
figured,
of people,
you figured the fuck out.
Other games.
A lot of people have PCs now. Though. Like,
but like,
if you're like a good amateur player, like somebody who's actually like competing, like you have a PC, I feel
think
like.
About other esports. I mean, yeah. The question has been that's proven to really not matter much. Other esports have AM scenes.
But I guess maybe like specifically to the COD scene, right? Because most of them are pretty broke. So.
I think that goes for every single gaming scene, that most of the non-pros are pretty fucking broke. It's because you're gaming and you're not going to work and you're not making money. So you're probably broke unless your parents are supplying the shit for you. So it's like, I think what Gene said is true. Like, they'll figure it out. And like Ann said, in other games, in all other games are not console games, the motherfuckers have computers. I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I see what you mean, though. 100%. Yeah,
so, might take a little bit for a new transfer over. I remember when COD went to PS3, and I didn't have the money to get a PS3, so I just didn't play, actually. But no bullshit. I didn't play the first, like, two seasons, I think it was, MW2.
Gotta sit that shit out.
I didn't play it yet. I just literally didn't play because I didn't have it. And I had played COD all the entire time until this point. And there was a ton of people who didn't go, like, I'm not buying a PS3. So I went to, like, a play and trade tournament. It was a free-for-all tournament. And I ended up winning it on PS3, actually. Some bot there on it. And then I was like, oh, I can play on PS3 now. So you just got to figure out a way to make the ends meet. You know what I mean? You got to grind. Yeah. You got to hustle it out. I literally drove an hour with one of my friends from home, went to a tournament, won a PS3 from a play and trade. So, like, they'll figure it out if they really want
to pursue
it.
That's crazy. We're not going to, like, the PS5 isn't about to be, whatever they said, $800 or some shit.
Yo, by the way, Machete, thank you for the five gift.
I can't even afford that, bro. I'm not buying a PS5. Fuck.
How the heck would... Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's drag Ekaj in here. Yo, Ekaj, what's up, dude?
Jake, man.
What's good, fam?
What's good, brother? What's the question?
I just wanted to ask everybody, with the season winding down, like, who do you guys think's the MVP right now? The season ended today.
If it ended today,
Celium.
Pharaoh.
Huh? Who would you say, Gene?
I don't even know. Be real honest with you, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a weird question in this game because I don't think
I feel like
maybe Shotzi? I don't know.
I don't feel like there's been like. Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say Cell. Like,
yes,
Cell's like probably been the most standout player like in this game. I would say,
but MVP, like, I feel like he's bro, like, most valuable to the squad.
What about Skies?
I mean, there's like.
It's hard. Honestly, it's not a disrespectful disguise. It's just that up until this update, it's been sub-driven. So it's like, how do you give it to one of the ARs?
Like, I feel like Cell has been a flex, so he's been doing it all, and he's been literally good on point. Top of his game the whole time.
Cell's a good shout, man. I'll go Cell. We going all Cell.
It's hard, you know? It's hard to, like, I don't know. It's hard to say when there's been, like, a lot of, like, there hasn't been, like, somebody super standout. Like, I would say.
What's your pick, Jake?
I think Salium, because he has all those freaking 1v2s, 5-5 randomly.
Great. Around my heart is broke.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you for the question, Jake. All right, we got two more to get through, boys. Sway.
All right.
Sway in the morning.
You ain't got the answer, Sway.
All right. Sway with an inexplicable head wrap.
4, 3, 2, 1, ding. Sway's not there. Yeah, he's gone. Yo, Tags. What's good, bro? Where are you from? Yo, Tags?
Unmute yourself, brother.
Yo.
What's up? Yo. Where are you from?
Can you hear me?
Yo.
Yeah. Yo. Chicago. Yo.
Oh, you gotta turn off the stream, brother. Mute the stream.
What's the question, Tags?
If you were to, like, let's say somebody, like, well, this is for a Pac-Man and a Nameless. Okay. If someone, like, give you, like, a bet, like, to go to champs, like, to the AM team, if you had to pick, like, three players that retired, who would you pick?
Retired players? Team Joe and Crowder.
Oh, okay.
Karma.
Oh.
I forgot Damon retired. DB3.
Yeah, me too.
I picked Karma.
He barely counts, though. It's a cheap answer.
Joe. Man, I don't know. What would we need, John? Because it's assuming me and John.
If it's me and Ant, yeah. I definitely want to eat. And
yeah, I'd probably run main, John.
Me or you would have to run main, yeah.
So I'd probably run main, and then we'd pick up
Study probably.
Oh yeah, Study.
Teep Stud. Teep Stud and Joe.
Yeah, Teep Stud and Joe.
No Killer?
Hell no.
I couldn't deal with Killer. I'll lose my mind. I don't know how people If it's specifically Black Ops 2, I'll take him.
But thank you for the question, Tags.
All right. Thank you for the...
Right. Stainville? Absolutely not.
Did Gersh type his question in chat? Oh, yeah.
No, he said, so his
he said, he said he's ready, though.
Oh, no. Oh, he is? Okay.
Maybe we just go from Gersh to the last question into, Gersh, his song.
He is the last question. Gersh, what's all good?
Right, there you go.
What's good? Is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. First of all, glad you guys like the song.
We're going to react to it with the stream.
That works. Yeah. Perfect. So my question is that this year when we've seen teams making pickups, we've had veterans like not being taken in favor of younger players who are known to perform online, whereas like usually consider veterans more because of LAN experience. But now we're looking at players who fit the format. So after this season, do you think that these kinds of online format specific players still stay on the roster?
I think they'll be on teams because a lot of players that are good online typically do well on LAN, even if it takes a little bit of time. I think the only player that really hasn't worked out with has been like Blast, and he's still like solid. So
of course,
I think they will. They'll stick around.
It depends. Like, let's say if it stays 5v5 or goes 4v4, like there's been a lot of talk about that publicly. I mean, I don't know. But I don't – for the new guys, the guys that are just now getting spots, I don't know if it's the same. For the guys that are like Mac Melts, I have a hard time believing that Mac Melts wouldn't be a starter next year.
Yeah.
He hasn't played one time on land in the pro scene.
Awakening for sure, yeah.
Awakening wouldn't even at least get a chance to start on land before.
I would say, too, another thing is, like, it depends on – like how the gameplay is too, like if they can adjust quickly to the new game. Like think about the people that were pro last year who aren't pro anymore this year.
Yeah.
That like just showed up last year and were really good, but now this year they're maybe they're still just as good, maybe they still have the team, but like they're just not here anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's like people will get the good and like people that you see do well and actually perform, they'll still stick around. But it's like the people that like I would say that have a chance of like getting kind of like let go, or like the bottom players, I'd say, like the players on the bottom of the teams, like bottom league teams.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the question, my brother.
All right. Thank you so much. Chino, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
How many retweets for a scuff, bro?
1 trillion.
I'm playing. All right. Have a great stream, guys.
All right, Gersh. We have one last one. Blizzard wanted to ask this question. What's the question, Blizzard? Quick, bro. Quick. We're pinched. Clown of the week, bro.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. What's the question, Blizzard? My guy.
My question is for all three of you, but for mainly Pac-Man.
Okay.
How did Liam and Priesta win the Warzone 2v2 when they clearly did not have the advantage from Clayster and Krim?
What do you mean they didn't have the advantage? They were up top and the circle went towards them.
I was about to say they had
every advantage in the book. What the hell are you talking about?
They almost got outplayed.
Were they on top?
Yeah, they were up top.
Yeah.
They got double smoked.
They got down.
They almost literally lost.
Yeah, they almost choked.
Yeah,
you guys are right, actually.
All right, Blizzard, dude.
I have a question. Wait, are you high right now? Why was that meant for me?
Yeah, Blizzard's not answering. He left. He's cooked, dude.
That guy's
baked.
Yo, chat. Thank you guys so much.
What is Explosive say? That guy's got to change his bong water or whatever he said.
For real, that guy is baked.
Well, yo, first, I got to do some shout-outs quick, boys. Shout-out to our partner, Prediction, for supporting us week in, week out. Appreciate you guys. Also, if you guys want to watch this, you know, someplace else other than iTunes, Spotify, our YouTube, or Twitch, you can check out UMGTV. It's also VOD is available there if you like their platform. And also, shout-out to Ben Nissim for helping us out and supporting the podcast, being our scuffed producer. And then, Chino, thank you for coming on, my bro.
Yes, sir.
There it's Keith.
Yo, I wish you nothing but good luck and good fortune, my bro. You're a great guy. And we got to listen to this song together, so I'm going to drop this shit in the chat for everybody. We're going to listen to this, react to it, and then we're going to sign out of the stream, bro.
That's good.
We don't have a clown of the week, bro. This is just like, you can't.
It's a lot harder in online times, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, people aren't saying nothing.
All right, guys. So Gerst, the guy that asked the question, he made a rap song to be the theme song of the podcast, and I dropped it in the chat. So John and Chino, are you guys at zero? Because we need to honestly react.
Oh,
we, to
it. Oh, I thought you were gonna play it through the stream, but okay.
Wait, you can't hear.
Yeah, me. I'm on zero.
All right, let me know when you guys are at zero. You guys listen on the stream chat, but let me know when you're at zero, Peck, Chin.
Give me a second. Good. Give me a second.
You got to play it and like pause it at one, actually, because Twitter video.
Oh, we're playing it off two. Okay.
We're going off one, right?
Yeah. All right. Let me know when you guys are ready.
Sorry. I'm good.
All right. Countdown, John.
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, guys, this is the not official, but potential podcast theme song, if you guys think it's good enough, right? So we need a...
Robo 6.
Go ahead, we need a thumbs up or a thumbs down for the song, guys.
Put your phone in.
Check it. Hey.
This was the guest, cause tonight we be talking. Came with the ant and the pack and they caught it. Asking the questions by running and pushing and gunning. Be brief like you came with a rocket. Be chilling on Ray, but we still get to bonding. Fan base is solid, they cap with the comments. Choose your words wisely, cause you know they watch it. It's 30 kills, sleep where you gon' get them out. If you watch live, sub it online like this man, why they've been done it. We'll make you a sniff like UATL's young. Swooping like a raven, that shout out to London. Huh. They envy me like the team that ain't won with. He got big like the season of Huntsman. OG like LA now casting me running. Made an empire so ill when he's stunned. Hey, don't have a small chat. Got caught in all that. Got fans and they lit, cause we in the podcast. Go ahead and call back. We live on broadcast. Got pack and nameless. This is the podcast. Don't have a small chat. Got caught in all that. Got fans and they lit, cause we in the podcast. Go ahead and call back. We live on broadcast. Got pack and nameless. Cause this is the podcast.
All right, I'm gonna pause it there. Yo, Gersh, man, first I want to say I think it's awesome that you like the podcast so much that you made a song for it, bro. I thought the shit actually kind of moved, no lie. I thought he was moving on the track, at least like in that chorus part, you know what I'm saying? What y'all thinking?
So first off, let me say, Gersh, thank you, that's actually pretty lit that you did that. That's a lot of work. Secondly, on the internet, all these kids are always going to roast.
And y'all can't make a song, bro.
Because they're not doing shit. It's much easier to roast than it is to do stuff.
Facts.
Yeah, so Gersh is saying peep the lyrics. I think my critique is that it could have been mixed better so that people could hear the lyrics easier.
Yeah, that was one thing I was trying to like listen to his lyrics. Like I literally had my hand on my head. trying to push it closer.
Well, yo, thank you for the song, man. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. As always, you can catch us on YouTube, iTunes, and Spotify. Make sure you guys leave a like if you're on any of those platforms and turn notifications on. For those of you tuning in live, thank you so much for tuning in week in and week out. We'll see you guys next week. Much love and appreciation.